Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 17. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I'm joined tonight by Matt Desend.
I think I'm going to be the bad guy today.
Oh, we'll see. And I'm also joined once again, surprise, surprise, by Bradley Cragen.
What is happening, gamers? This is Bradley here. Wait, this isn't one of my videos, is it?
No, not quite.
Bradley, for those of you who don't know, and most of you should, is a YouTuber. His channel's at Bradley News 11, so go check him out over there, as always. You know what? I don't think I mentioned last week that, you know, he does all sorts of things on YouTube. News roundups, reviews, and just, you know, miscellaneous funny stuff. You know, top tens, top fives.
Oh, yeah.
Q&As.
His reviews are some of the best on YouTube, especially for, like, the independent Wii U games that come out. He just has a lot of humor throughout the game, so it's very much appreciative when I'm watching it.
Thanks, man.
So today, we're going to be going through our familiar structure, talking about recent swag that we have collected, or, in the case of Bradley and myself, not collected.
Yeah.
And then we'll be talking about what we've been playing, and finally, we're going to get to what you guys have all been waiting for, our thoughts on E3 2015, as it pertains to Nintendo. So, Matt, do you want to get your recent swag, your recent pickups out of the way?
Yeah, let's just run through this real quick, because really this section is for me to vent all the wonderful things that I find at the great prices that I find it at. So the very first thing that I found this week, and this was a cool find for me, Mario Party for the Nintendo 3DS. I picked this up for $10.
Where?
That's not bad.
From somebody local in my town. They posted it on a Craigslist type website, and they just said they actually wanted 15, and I was like, I'm going to see how low I can get these people to go. So I offered them 10, and they said if I could pick it up right then they would sell it to me for 10 bucks. So I was able to grab that for $10. I thought it was a pretty good find.
Interesting.
It's not an amazing game, though. I was just playing that yesterday with my sister, actually, and I kind of decided, like, it's got its moments, but, you know,
yeah,
Mario Party hasn't been good in years.
I haven't been able to play it yet. My daughter actually sat there and played it. We took a trip to go to a theme park over the weekend for some family fun. And we were driving home and she wanted to play it. And I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and try it. And she was enjoying it. So yeah. I think maybe it just might be a different kind of age group that the game's meant for.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to play it with her because I know that there's download play on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting. I want to be able to sit there and play some Mario Party on a trip or something. This one wasn't able to do that, but, you know, in the future. So the other thing I was able to find for the Nintendo 3D or for the Nintendo DS, I got two games. The first game is called Lunar Dragon Song. I don't know if either of you remember the old RPG series called Lunar. It was a Sega Saturn, I want to say, series.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, this one is not a good game, I guess, after looking up reviews for it. It's just very mediocre, and it's very very cut-and-dry RPG. I have never played it. I got it for $5 as well, just at a pawn shop. But it's a game that I've seen in my, you know, throughout looking at DS stuff, and I was like, oh, I want to add this to my collection just because I like building my library up. And even bad games have a place in a library, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then the last game that I got, so today, as of the recording of this, is Father's Day, and it's actually my anniversary to my wife as well, so
wow.
It's a lot of all sorts of fun stuff rolled
into one. It's the summer solstice, too.
Yeah, today is like the greatest day ever, basically.
Yeah.
But
well,
my wife and my daughter both got me a DS game. We were in Utah, as I was saying, and we were looking through all the different games that they had on at this one game shop just for fun. We stopped there. And they had a copy of Lost Magic for the DS. Did either of you guys ever hear this game?
That sounds familiar.
So
no,
it's a action RPG. It is an action RPG, and you actually cast spells by drawing pictures on the touchscreen. Now, I don't think this ever got good reviews or like amazing reviews or anything like that, but it's a game that I've always wanted to play and I want to have in my collection. And my daughter very sneakily said, hey, if you could get a game here, what would it be, Dad? And I was like, oh, this Lost Magic game, I've always wanted to play. It looks like fun. And then, lo and behold, when I woke up this morning, they got me this game for Father's Day and my anniversary. So it was a cool little cool find that I got for my Father's Day gift. But yeah, so those are the three games that I picked up for my recent swag. I got a Nintendo 3DS game and then two DS games.
Sweet.
Cool. At those prices, that's actually pretty good.
That's what I thought. about Mario Party for the 3DS, I was like, you know, even if I never want to play this game, like for $10, I want to have it in my collection.
Yeah, I got it for free from Club Nintendo.
Yes, but that wasn't so physical. Beat
that. Yeah, that's true. You should be lucky that it wasn't a unicycle that you were looking at, that your wife and daughter got for you. I actually mentioned to my coworker who had a son that she was trying to hook me up with. Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
And I mentioned to her one day that, like, you know, if I could get like anything for my birthday, this was last year, I'd totally get a unicycle. And it wasn't even really her. She just mentioned something about a unicycle to her son. And suddenly I get a unicycle for birthday from this guy.
Oh, man.
How are you enjoying that unicycle now?
I love it. I do know how to ride it.
Then it was a good present.
I learned years ago. But yeah, darn, those things are expensive. And I feel bad. I'm never, ever going to try to give hints. I didn't try. It wasn't on purpose. It wasn't like, go get your son to buy me a unicycle.
That's great.
So, but I'm going to watch what I say from now on, because you just never know. Anyway, so let's talk about what we've been playing.
Huh? That's your recent swag.
Yeah. It was a few months ago, but yeah, that's my swag. Anyway, so let's talk about what we've been playing. On the list here, I have it as beginning with Matt. So Matt, do you want to just keep going on what you have been playing recently?
Okay, so for the main push of what I've been playing, I decided I wanted to get these 9 games played. The Nindies at Home, this is a really cool thing that Nintendo did. They actually released 9 demos or previews of 9 upcoming Nindies or Nintendo independent games. They're not exactly exclusive to the system, but they're kind of the higher profile games that are coming to the Nintendo eShop on the Wii U, and they released 9 demos. And I thought this was a really cool idea because whenever I watch E3, and I would imagine the majority of gamers when we watch E3, we're always like, oh my gosh, I want to play that. You know, and Nintendo did this last year as well when they let people play Smash Brothers at Best Buy. The year before, I think they let people play Mario Kart and Wind Waker and Mario 3D World and Donkey Kong, I believe. Yeah. Like, they've been doing this thing with Best Buy for a little while now where they let people kind of play demos of the games for the upcoming games. And they did that, of course, this year as well with Mario Maker or Super Mario Maker, which, very cool idea. But us, for the people sitting on our couches enjoying the show at home, we've always kind of missed out a little bit if we didn't have a Best Buy close to us. I mean, Brad or Holly, did either of you were you able to go to Best Buy and play the games?
No.
I didn't want to.
You didn't want to? You had the opportunity and you didn't go?
Well, how far would Best Buy be from you?
I don't know. I didn't really check where the nearest one was.
Oh, well, there might have been one close to you or not, but if there was and you didn't go, Bradley,
I didn't
want to
wait in line.
I would have done it. I would have been there in a heartbeat. I'm so excited for Super Mario Maker. Anyways, getting back to the Nindies at Home. They released 9 games, and the 9 games were Runbo, Typo Man, Mutant Mud, Super Challenge, Freedom Planet, Lovely Planet, Formia 8, Rive, Soul Axiom, and Extreme Exorcism. Sadly, I did not get around to play every single one of them like I wanted to. I did not get to play Freedom Planet. Well, then I want to hear your opinion on a couple of these, because I did not play Freedom Planet, and I didn't play Extreme Exorcism. Those are the two that I didn't get to spend any time with. Out of the time that I did spend with Runbo, I thought it was a very cool game. I want to play that in multiplayer. I played that one only by myself, and I was like, this is fun. I get the idea. I want to get all my friends together and really sit down and play this. This is a game that I think is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm glad I got to play an early example of it, or a preview of it at least. Lovely Planet is a like speed running first person shooter game. I think that's the best way to describe, right? Is that what you'd say too, Brad?
Yes. Yeah, speed running shooting. You can't get hit or anything like that.
Because as soon as you get hit, you restart from the very beginning of the stage. Or if you like fall in a pit and you're hurting your time, you can reset the stage right away. And the goal is to get from point A to point B. Like,
as
there's this
fast
big
as
stick.
Possible.
Yeah, as fast as possible. It is a
speed running first person shooter.
I think that's the best way to put it. Mutant Mud Super Challenge, awesome. It's fun. It's super difficult. I beat the first. So there's 3 stages. 1-1-1, right? Wasn't it 1-1?
Yeah, 1-1.
1-1, 3-1, and then a boss stage.
Yeah.
And I beat 1-1 after many, many tries.
Oh, yeah.
3-1 I gave up on after probably 10 or so deaths. And then the boss stage, I honestly think I tried twice, and I was like, I don't have the patience right now.
I've beat all the levels except the boss one.
Boss is crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. That's going to be a lot of fun. But if you already know Mutant Muds or you played it, it is very Mutant Mudsy. I mean, it feels like great pixel-perfect platforming. The little jetpack is a cool little addition. You know, it was in it, the original, but what I mean is it's a cool addition to platforming in general.
And the music's good.
Music is awesome, but I would expect nothing less. Freedom Planet, I didn't play. Bradley, you did, and I'd like to hear your thoughts on it, because I always heard that this is like... So Shovel Knight is the evolution of the NES. I heard that Freedom Planet is the evolution of the Sega Genesis. Would you agree with that statement?
I never actually played a Sega Genesis, but I guess I would say that. It's really similar to like classic Sonic.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I saw a lot of, so I decided not to play that because I wanted to play the other game so badly. Formula 8, this is a cool game. It looks stylistically really cool, and it plays very... It's a fun game to sit there, relax, and just kind of vibe out and play the game. It's your little space ship, and you're trying to make it throughout the levels. A little bit Metroidvania in the fact that you're kind of like exploring these different areas and you got to go back and just upgrade your ship a little bit. And then there's a lot of physics going on. It's just a fun game to sit and play.
It was fun.
What'd you think of it?
I liked it. The only problem was I wish there was a map.
Yeah, I thought the same way. About 30 minutes into playing it when I kind of got to... When I got to the part where you see the outside world.
Yeah.
You
know what I'm talking? I got stuck there.
Exactly. I was like, where am I supposed to go next? And I just kind of backtracked and I eventually figured it out. But a map of some kind would have made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Rive? I don't know if... So good, right?
Oh, yeah. Super awesome.
So well polished. So well designed. Like, this game is... I would say this, Mutant Muds, and Runbow are the reason why this Nindies at Home thing happened. Like, those are the three, in my opinion at least, the three top guns of Nintendo's upcoming eShop lineup. Like, these games are a reason to have a Wii U and to have it connected to the internet. Rive, you're playing in a spaceship. It reminds me a lot of Blaster Master. Did either of you guys play that at all?
I know about it. It's pretty similar to that.
For once, I at least know about it. Okay. And that's saying something for me. So I do know about Blaster Master.
It reminds me of it. It's not anything like it, but there's similarities to it. And it's just so much fun to play. It's a shooter. The stage that we actually got to play was very much heavily shooter stage.
Oh, yeah.
The actual game is going to be more of a Metroidvania type game, actually. You know, that's why I thought it was weird the stage that they did for the preview. Because the game is going to be very platformy and... You know, left to right, you know, jumping, all that kind of stuff. This one was
hacking.
Much more. Yeah, and hacking, too. Like, there's a lot of other things you're going to do in this game other than the one preview stage they showed, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't know if this was a good representation of it, actually.
It actually got me excited for it.
Well, then that's good. That's all you can hope for.
I love, like, the slow-mo parts.
Yeah, the way that the game embraces, like, something cool is about to happen right now.
Yeah.
Like, the game knows that this is fun, and they want you to have fun while you play it.
I hope this is a winner for two tries, because Tokitori 2 didn't do well for them. They went bankrupt, I think, because of it.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, this is not... Are they still under the name Two Tribes?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, they are. Okay. But they broke their whole... Everything down, basically.
Yeah.
It's only, like, 8 people now. It's a lot smaller team.
I think this will do good for them, though.
I do too, especially because they're going to release it on everything. I mean, Tokitori 2 obviously was a Wii U exclusive for a very long time, and the attach rate, you know, or not the attach rate, but the sell of a Wii U was very low at that time.
Yeah.
I think having this on the Wii U, Xbox One, PS4, PC, and I bet they're going to release kind of day and date, you know, of each other. I think this is going to be a good hit. It's so good, and it looks great.
Yeah.
And then Soul Axiom, I only played... less than 10 minutes left, so I don't want to comment too much. It's a first-person exploring type game.
Yeah, I didn't really like it.
It looked cool. It looked cool, but as I played it, I was like, I'm not enjoying this right now. And I don't know if that was because I had already played all the other games, and this one's a lot slower paced, or if it's because it's just not an exciting game. You know, I'm not 100% sure. I did not play Extreme Exorcism, but I want to hear about it. So did you play this one too, Brad?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's an arcade type game, so you don't go through like levels and stuff like that. How do I explain it? It's really unique.
Does it have anything to do with exorcism?
Not really.
Well, you kill your enemy and then like two come back, right?
Yeah, you kill an enemy, just like exorcism. And they come back as a ghost, and they like do the same exact moves that you did in the last round.
Huh.
And then you have to destroy them again, and like more of them just keep joining in. It just becomes chaos.
It does sound pretty extreme.
It's hard to describe. You have to play it.
Well, I'm definitely planning on checking it out.
Maybe I'll give that one a shot. For those of you who are curious, who are listening, that is, I didn't play a whole lot of the Nindies at home, unfortunately. I just played Runbo, and I played it twice, two different times, only for 5 minutes each, because I just could not get into the flow of that game. And every time I, you know, would get any kind of farther into it, I guess. I don't know. I just thought, like, well, it isn't that fun when you can't get this flow, when you keep getting blocked by these platforms that are appearing. I know that, like, and this took me, okay, it took me until the Nintendo Treehouse Live at E3 segment on Runbo to finally realize that as these colors, like, these colors are constantly sweeping across the screen. It's like it's a side-scroller, of course, for those of you who don't know. Well, you know, like a 2D side-scroller sort of thing. And these different colors are constantly sweeping across the course, and every color that comes by, any platforms of that color are going to disappear. So I finally got that. And so when I played it, I knew what was going on. I knew how things worked. But I did not enjoy it at all. I just couldn't get into it.
You need to play this game with a group of people. I'm just...
Can you play the demo with people? Is it multiplayer?
Yeah, I think it's like nine. Is it nine players?
It's nine players, but the thing is I don't think the demo is online, but there will be online functionality for the game when it comes out.
Local multiplayer. Is the demo local multiplayer ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should try that out because, man, I just...
I got 3 stars on all the levels, man. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this game is going to be awesome.
I do like the idea of a nine player local play. And online, that's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
I'm very pleased that they added that in there.
It's crazy you can do nine players on one Wii U, though. Like, that seems outrageous to me. Like, I'm going to need to buy a lot more controllers.
I'm good to go on the controllers front. As long as they are allowing GameCube controllers, because I finally got an adapter. Are GameCube controllers usable in this game?
I don't know.
I think that's like a Smash Bros. Exclusive.
Yeah,
dang. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah, Smash Bros. Is the only one that uses them, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a shame. So, Bradley, did you have anything else that you were playing outside of the Nindies at Home selection?
Yes. I have been playing a couple of review copies. One of them is Never Alone. It's coming to the Wii U eShop this week.
Very excited for that.
It's the... Alaskan, like, puzzle platformer. It's pretty cool.
With your adorable puppy?
It's a fox, man.
Oh, it's a fox? I thought it was a puppy.
The white fox. And then the other game I've been playing is Etrian Odyssey 2 Untold.
I've never played a single game in that series.
I think it comes out in August.
I think you would like that a lot, Holly, actually. They're very in-depth RPGs. I guess they're different than, like, a Fire Emblem, but it just seems like something you might... be able to kind of fall into.
Yeah, they're dungeon crawlers, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like dungeon crawler, turn-based strategy.
Oh, combined, okay.
Wait, not turn-based strategy. I mean,
like a turn-based combat. RPG?
Yeah, turn-based RPG.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Okay. Yeah, it does sound like something I might like.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
How are you getting a review copy when the game doesn't come out till August? That's still a ways away.
Atlas just really likes to send out the review copies really early.
It's an in-depth game. I think the more time you can put into it, the better your review is going to be. I mean, this is a long game. I was going to say, like, this is an in-depth game. You're 30 hours in and you're a quarter in, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I think you'd like it so much, Holly.
Yeah. there's a lot of in-depth RPG series and things that I still haven't tried, including this one. But I'd like to know how both of these games are, actually, if you're allowed to talk about them.
I don't know if I am.
Oh.
Wait, I can talk about Never Alone, though.
Never Alone? Yeah.
I don't think there's any embargo for that. So, I actually really, I like it. It's, the gameplay isn't, like, groundbreaking or anything like that. It's pretty simple. But I like the whole Alaskan history part to it. There's, like, these video clips that you unlock, and they interview Alaskan Native people, and you get to learn some history about them. It's just kind of like a history lesson. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that is really cool. So, So you have to unlock these video clips. How hard is it to unlock them is my question, because, you know, there's some games that I play where it's like, you have to do this to unlock all of these things, and I'm just like, ain't no way I am doing all of that, because sometimes unlockables can be very difficult to get. So would you say that someone who is not about to 100% complete this game would still be able to unlock most of the videos?
Definitely, because you basically just run into them when you're going along the journey. You just unlock them periodically.
All right, and it is a puzzle platformer? Is that what I'm...
Yeah, and it's kind of like a co-op. You can do a co-op. One can be the fox and one can be the human.
Oh, wow, that's neat. So if you don't have, like, someone to play with...
You just
switch. Is the
fox,
like, computer? Oh, okay.
You just press a button and you switch to a different character.
Well, I'm always interested in games that you can play locally with a friend.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Cool. You know what? I think I may get that one.
I don't know how much it's going to be.
That's a good point. I saw that, what was that? Oh, yeah, unfortunately, Affordable Space Adventures,
$20.
It was a little too pricey for me, so I still haven't gotten that one. And in the future, at some point, it'll probably go on sale. So that's, you know, probably when I'll get that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sad that one is $20. I feel like it could have... what's it called? Swords and Soldiers 2 just came out as well.
Yeah, that's another one.
See, and me and my wife and my daughter, we loved the first Swords and Soldiers. So as soon as this one came out, like, even though it was $20, I was like, all right, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go ahead and pull out, do it. I mean, we've already had ton of awesome enjoyment from it. We really love the game a lot, but $20 is a very steep price for something that's downloadable. And I really wish companies, I understand they need to make a return, but I just feel like your return would take a little longer to get to it, but I think you'd have a better chance of getting to it if you were to take that, you know, just say like, okay, let's go ahead and release this for $15. Like that $5 is it's a big jump. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. For the eShop.
Yeah, it definitely looks more appealing to people. Exactly. Okay, as for what I've been playing, a lot of Fire Emblem. I was tutoring down in this town that's 20 miles south of where I live, because that's one of my part-time jobs. I wasn't tutoring at the time. Sometimes I just get a chill because students procrastinate and, you know, things don't get busy for tutoring at the college until things are due. Stupid students. But anyway, so I was chilling at my job, and there was this gal who was kind of sitting close by me. At this study table where I had all my stuff set up, and I was for some reason on Nintendo's site looking up games that were on the Wii U, and I saw that Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones came out on the Virtual Console on Wii U.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yay for that.
I have it for the 3DS.
Yes.
Oh.
From the Ambassador program.
Okay, the Ambassador. Yeah, I sold
Holly
my Ambassador
sold
3DS.
Sold her Ambassador
a long time
3DS.
Ago. Yeah, it was goofy.
Didn't you just transfer it over to your new one?
No, I didn't have my new one yet. And the person I'm just way too nice sometimes. The
yes,
person
you
I was
are.
Selling my Ambassador 3DS to, she was moving, and so I wouldn't have had enough time to get my new 3DS XL. This was when the XL came out, the original XL.
Good golly, Holly.
Right?
Yeah, I know. I really miss that stuff. So I was totally thrilled, and I totally have been expecting it, but I did not know when this would happen for, like, you know, some more of the Fire Emblem series to come out on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Yeah.
I'm also hoping... Was there another one? So we have the original Western Fire Emblem on the Wii U eShop, and now we have the Sacred Stones, which I think came after. Was there another one on the Game Boy Advance that we can expect?
I don't recall.
No.
Dang. I swear there is, but I have no idea what it's called.
There was one for the DS, right? Or was there two?
Yeah.
There's
at least
one. DS, but I believe it was...
It was like a remake of the original, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That never came to the West, of course.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think we had two for the Wii, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought we had one for GameCube and one for Wii.
Oh, that might be it. There's like Path of Radiance and something else.
Something with the word Dawn, I think.
Yeah.
Radiant Dawn?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Radiant Dawn, I think, is
correct.
Well,
then we'd have a lot of radiance and radiant.
I don't know. Something like that.
So the more Fire Emblem we get, the happier I will be, because after I played Awakening, I decided that is just a series I can't get enough of. And you know what? I have not quite finished the original Fire Emblem for GBA, which I have downloaded on my Wii U. I haven't finished it, but I'm working on it still, and I have started... Maybe this was probably a really dumb idea, because I'm also in the middle of playing Awakening over again, but I also have started the Sacred Stones. So right now I'm trying to play Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem the Sacred Stones, and Fire Emblem Awakening, as well as a bunch of other games that I have to kind of get around to. So...
Too many stories.
Those are big games, Holly.
Yeah, I know. The too many stories comment kind of brings to mind, like, these stories are so unique to me, or they just each stand out. So I know exactly which characters belong to Fire Emblem and exactly which characters belong to Sacred Stones. So, and I'm really enjoying all the characters and the stories in every single one of those Fire Emblem games. So, it's fun stuff. There's no grinding in the original Game Boy Advance Fire Emblems, which those of you who have played Awakening, you know that, like, you can get all of your characters up to their max levels, their max potentials, by grinding. That's kind of a thing in Fire Emblem Awakening. Well, it was not a thing in those original GBA games, so there's a ton more strategy involved. And there's no way to kind of, like, get out of that part.
And there's no casual mode.
Right, that too. So, save states. Thank goodness for save states.
Let them die, man.
Save states is cheating, Holly.
I know it is, but I'm just there to kind of, you know, enjoy the strategy for...
Oh, I don't care. I use save states anytime I'm available to use them. And I will save right before a big jump in Mega Man. And if I don't make that jump, guess what I'm doing? Save stating. Over and over and over. I don't care what people say about me.
The power of the virtual console.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, so I was super thrilled to see that the Sacred Stones came out on Wii U this week, and so I'm just going to be Fire Embleming it up for the next couple months, probably.
Nice.
Anyway, so that's good stuff. That kind of leads into talking about our big feature for today, which is on Nintendo's E3.
Oh my gosh, did
it suck? Yep, that's exactly what I put on the note. Nintendo at E3 2015, did it suck?
Oh boy, let's hear it. I want to hear some comments from you and Bradley for sure about sum it up in one sentence, please.
We actually do have, that's the precise question that I asked all of my Twitter followers, and I got a lot of responses, so I really want to thank you guys for doing that. So just going down the list here, one sentence, that was kind of the rule. Marcus, his Twitter handle is @various. He says, could have been better, but still some good games shown.
I'd like to hear what those good games were.
Yep, and I think we will be talking about those.
Yeah.
So Andy, and his Twitter handle is @justwatchandy. He says, our transition from Wii U to NX has begun. Please understand.
Oh my gosh.
Almost as if, yeah, speaking from Nintendo's point of view right now.
Oh,
interesting.
Boy.
They won't confirm that, though.
Yeah, interesting thought, though, for sure. We have a comment from Yeti Force, and his Twitter handle is @YetiForce. He says, I am so happy. The new Star Fox Zero looks fun.
Okay. So, I like positivity.
Yeah, there's a few things to be happy about, I think. We have a comment also from Amiibro @GreenMoblin is his Twitter handle. Yeah, me too. Both of his names, like his Twitter name and his Twitter handle, both pretty cool. He says, it was not the best or the worst one, but unlike others, I will give Metroid Prime Federation Force a chance.
I think that's going to be a hidden gem.
Yeah, I'm staying optimistic.
Yeah, me too. So next we have @RosefDeath. And he likes us to use his pseudonym here. So @RoseFDeath is his Twitter handle. He says, not impressed. Expected more with mini directs being done beforehand.
I see. And he's hitting the nail on the hammer for me. And he's a friend of the show. And I agree with him completely.
Yep. As do I. definitely expected more at the very least. Finally, we have a last comment, our final comment, sorry, from Justin Jackson at Zalmute, or Zalmute, if you want to look him up on Twitter. He says, Star Fox has returned, but Nintendo's fans still complain.
Ooh, those are fighting words where I come from.
Anyway, so we have a lot of great comments here, kind of that cover the whole spectrum of feelings,
yeah.
Almost.
Oh yeah, let's
do this. We
didn't
have a whole lot of positivity, but anyway, so let's talk about E3. Do we want to just go down the list and talk about the Smash Direct first, followed by the World Championships, and so on and so forth, or do we just want to start naming names or naming games?
Let's do the Smash thing first.
Yeah, because I think we're all positive on that, right? I mean, we kind of had a talk prior to the Smash Direct last week, and we all said that we already knew what the big news was. Obviously, we knew that Ryu and Roy were coming, and sadly that leaked. But even with those two leaks, it was still a good show. Yes,
it was, and
it reminded me why I love Smash Brothers. So I popped in my 3DS copy right away, downloaded Ryu when I was able to, and I haven't stopped playing. I love that game, and they did such a good job of reminding me why I love that game. I thought the Smash Direct was perfect. It was exactly what I wanted them to do with a direct that was being shown before the big show. You know what I mean? It was that was good.
And there was some stuff that wasn't leaked out, like some of the amiibo. What else was there? Tournament mode.
But sadly we're still not getting it till
Like what is it? August or something?
Yeah, I think it's August.
Why is everything coming in August?
Because it's the end of the summer and everyone has to go back to school, and I don't know why they're doing that. That seems
crazy.
It's the
holiday season, I guess.
That's when the holiday season begins, apparently. You know, it is kind of when things get cold, so people are indoors
summer
more.
Months
but...
are... They don't release that many games in summer months, do they?
They don't. Yeah. Actually, their calendar, and I know we're going to talk about it in a minute, there's nothing covering July, the end of June, and August. There's nothing. Like, the drought has happened. Yeah, yeah.
Nintendo should use this opportunity to flesh out their virtual console, particularly on the Wii U.
You think they would do that, right? You would think.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, Smash Direct, I think we can all agree, was fantastic. I was very pleased with it. Again, like you guys say, the leaks did happen, but the presentation was still awesome.
Yeah.
And, Nintendo gave me a very, very good reason to want to get a Mr. Game & Watch amiibo.
Oh, Duck Hunt for me.
Ah.
I'm not getting any.
You're crazy.
Aw, come on.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Just get one. Put your toe in the water.
I want them all, but I just can't do it.
Yeah. Okay, guys. I was watching a recent video of Bradley's, and he did the math for us. And determined how much money it would cost to buy the entire series, Smash Bros. Series of amiibo. And
don't
do you remember what that number was?
Yeah, with all 55, with the DLC characters, it's like over $700.
Well, I'm only getting the ones I want, so hopefully I'll only spend like $200.
I'm kind of the same way. I'm not getting a whole lot. Just, the ones that I kind of want. I'll continue building my collection very slowly as the months go on.
If I had the option to buy all 55 characters plus the DLC characters at one time and make sure I get every single one, $700 does not sound like a bad idea. The problem is that I can't get every single one that I want, and I have to track down a dirty scalper and pay like $40 to $50 for a single amiibo. So that cost has now gone from $700 closer to like $1,000.
Yeah, probably.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is real.
Anyway, so amiibo. Yeah. And in case you guys don't know, the listeners, that is, and I'm sure you do, the Mr. Game & Watch amiibo is going to come with, three or four different
poses? I think it's four.
Poses.
Is it three or four?
I think it's four, I think.
Maybe it's five. Ooh.
Nah, it's not five. I wish.
Anyway, so that's why. I wonder if that one will cost any more. They're like, you can switch these little poses out of the base, or out from the base of it.
That's a cool idea that Nintendo has really embraced amiibo and said, like, each amiibo is different and they don't all have to be the same. We saw that originally with the Yarn Yoshi, and then we saw it with the amiibo cards, and now we're seeing it with even just regular amiibo from the Smash Brothers line. The fact that you can change out his stance, which is very Game & Watch-like because, he's very pixelated because he's just, a image, then another image, then another image.
it would be, it's a really good one to kind of experiment with, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, I like how they're doing that. They're not just making figures. I mean, they're doing different things with them.
They're experimenting, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was totally unexpected, so I really appreciated that aspect of it. So, let's talk about the Nintendo World Championships 2015. I was able to watch live most of this presentation, minus, like, maybe a half an hour in the middle of it when I had some things that I had to, you know, responsibilities and things like that. I, you know, by the end of it, I thought it was, like, the funnest thing to watch.
It was.
But at the same time, I was just, like, almost exhausted after it, because it was like, what, 4.5 hours long or something like that?
It was a little long. It was a little long.
It was like 3 hours, I think.
I think the reason why it was that long, though, was because they knew some people maybe wouldn't be able to watch it from start to finish. So they wanted to kind of drag it out. So if someone only started the beginning of it, then they would have time to kind of make it to the end of it.
And it's up to you, you know, if you don't want to spend 4 hours or however long it was. You know, it probably added up to 4 hours with the, like, pre-show thing that they did where they just played a bit of Yoshi's Woolly World.
That brought it over to, like, almost, 4.5 hours.
So
it's a lot of Nintendo goodness. This E3, sadly, Nintendo didn't have the greatest showing, but this E3 was heavily Nintendo filtered. You know, I mean, they controlled a lot of the conversation on Twitter a lot. I mean, the fact that they started on Sunday, at the beginning of Sunday, and then they ended it on Sunday as well. Like, there was so much Nintendo news that came out of this. It's just so, it's so sad that it was not all positive all the time. But the Nintendo World Championships overall, I think, was another positive video. They even showed off an exclusive new game, even though they didn't name it, which I thought was an interesting idea that they just showed off a game. They're like, ooh, here's the game. And it was cool. I thought it looked
neat.
Well, they
did give it a name.
Yeah, Blast Ball.
They didn't tell you, they called it Blast Ball. They didn't say this is Metroid.
Wink,
this
wink.
Is part of Metroid. But
even though it looked exactly like Metroid Hunters.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I loved the World Championships. It was really fun.
It was. And Super Mario Maker at the end was honestly...
Oh, that was awesome.
It was amazing. It made me smile the entire time and made me remember why I love Mario games. And it made me remember why I want this game more than anything else right now. So
that probably won over a lot of people to get the game.
I'd be shocked if someone walked away like, oh, that doesn't look like fun. What?
Yeah. And also, you can't forget Reggie versus Hungrybox, I think his name was.
That was terrible.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Oh my gosh. was very fun to watch, but Reggie just did horrible. I love that comment that he made after the match. He's like, you know what, I don't have every day all day. I'm busy, you know, running a company for
excuses, Reggie, don't play the game.
It looked like he didn't really even, well, at some points
jump,
when he first
Reggie.
Fell off. I know, he didn't even jump. He falls off the edge and you don't even see him try to do his recovery.
No.
Yeah, there are some sad, I mean, it was cool, and I think the majority of people liked it, and they weren't like, oh, this guy doesn't know how to game. Because obviously Reggie does not play video games.
Yeah, he's a businessman.
Exactly, which is fine. I know that he likes the company, he enjoys the company, and I feel like he wants the best to come from the company. But if he would have even had a small showing of, like, skill, I mean, even just the tiniest amount, it would have been just that much cooler, you know?
I thought he would have been a little bit better.
I would
Yeah,
I would
me
hope.
Too.
I would hope.
He did get Hungrybox once, though.
Yeah.
That was a great moment. When that happened, I was like, yeah, good job.
He was going easy on him.
Yeah,
it did look like that. Oh. Anyway, so that was fun. So my question for you guys is, did either of you enjoy any particular contestant in the Nintendo World Championships? I was actually, last week, as you listeners probably know, and you guys too, I kind of was rooting for the Mexican runner.
Yeah, I watched
him. He got eliminated.
He did.
Right at the beginning. So that was too bad. I didn't even see him get eliminated. That was like the half an hour that I was gone for. So I just come back and I see that he's totally gone from the, you know, standings. And I'm just like, well, that's too bad. So after that, I was like, well, girl power, go bananas, and redhead power, too. I'm a redhead, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she didn't make it, and then I was kind of rooting for Trihex, because he just seems to have more style.
You just kept picking the wrong people.
Yeah, I know. Trihex went really far, though. He got into the top four, I believe that they played Super Smash Bros. Together, and that determined the top two. So Trihex got really far, and I really love watching him on Twitch. If you guys haven't looked up Trihex yet, do that. He is a pro Yoshi's Island speedrunner, and it is the funniest thing that you'll ever see. If you really think about it, you see this really hardcore dude, like, just, like, mashing those buttons like a pro. And he's so hardcore when you see him on the video feed. And then you look over at the game that he's playing, and it's like this super ultra-colorful kitty world. And it is very, very enjoyable to watch him on Twitch. So I was really hoping that he would make it to the final two, but he didn't. Still, I'm glad that Cosmo made it, because he's also a pretty fun speedrunner to watch. And, you know, the commentators really enjoyed the fact that while he was playing Mario Maker, he was just, like, grinning the entire time. Oh, and yeah. I enjoyed that, too. I really did.
Yeah, they're having fun with it.
Yeah, and I think the commentators this year did a great job. I think you have to walk that fine line of, like, annoying and...
Oh, Mini Wheat.
Mini Wheat, yeah. So I actually only got to see a little bit of Mini Wheat, and I know that there was hate for him and there was love for him, but I thought it was cool. I didn't think that was a big deal. It's Splatoon. It's a game that... It's just video games, and people sometimes get a little anxious about their video games, but I thought it was a cool idea.
He made it that much more memorable.
There you go. Everyone will remember Mini Wheat.
Whether or not it was a bad thing or a good thing, people will remember that for years to come. So did either of you watch the Super Smash Bros. Invitational last year?
Yes, I did. And I loved it.
Okay. That one almost seemed like I didn't get to watch that whole thing. And Nintendo did not publish it, as far as I could tell, like the entire thing.
I had to actually watch a bootleg version of it on YouTube because they didn't publish it. I got to only watch a little bit of it live. And then I eventually watched that and all the Treehouse Live stuff last year, basically from bootleggers on YouTube that posted stuff later.
Nintendo did post all of their Treehouse Live segments last year, as they did this year.
But they posted it later. They didn't post it or the next day. It was like 2 weeks later that they posted that kind of stuff.
Huh. So at least Nintendo has been doing better on YouTube this year, right?
Oh, yeah. Way better. Yeah. Way better. Way better this year compared to last year.
I just wish I got to see the Invitational last year. But I did hear the Invitational, or Jeff Keighley, the host for the Invitational last year, did not seem very pleased during his hosting duties or
the way he
was talking.
I never had an issue with him. He was getting ribbed. You know, he was getting kind of heckled a little bit from the audience, and he was giving it right back. But I thought the whole time, he likes video games. Jeff Keighley, as much as he is a business dude, like he's a fan of video games, and I think Smash Brothers he's a fan of too, and I think he had a good time with it. I didn't get the impression that he was like, oh man, what a paycheck.
Okay. So, Bradley, what did you think about, oh my gosh, what is the host's name for the
Jeff
World
Keighley?
Championships? No. Well, yeah, him versus,
These guys were way better.
Pereira. Kevin Pereira?
Yeah, I don't even know who that guy is.
Me neither.
But, yeah, he was fine.
But he did good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so, interesting, interesting to watch the Nintendo World Championships, even though my picks for, you know, winning it didn't quite win it.
I hope they do it again.
Fun. Yeah, that'd be, you know, whatever they do next year, I'm sure they'll do something similar. I'm excited for it, whatever it's going to be, because these kinds of events are always pretty fun to watch, if exhausting. I mean, I was literally exhausted, and I was almost Nintendo'd out by the time that was done, actually, which is one of the reasons I kind of went into panic mode somehow this week and didn't watch a lot of the Treehouse Live at E3. I didn't even cover E3 that much. I just have been Nintendo'd out. I don't know why. Maybe it is because the digital event was so underwhelming. But let's talk about that now. The digital event.
All right.
What do you think about this?
I think we should all take a little bit of a turn. I think
this is
let's
the best
start
thing ever.
I think we should all take a small turn, and we should be able to kind of say our piece and then kind of talk about it a little bit, because I feel like we all have pretty... I think we have enough to say that each one of us could go for an hour, but I think we should all just take like 2-3 minutes and just kind of state what we want to kind of get off of our chest about this.
Okay, Matt, you go first.
Okay, let's do this. Okay, so the Nintendo E3 digital event, I had very high expectations coming from last year's digital event, which I thought blew the roof off of everything. The first thing they showed was Star Fox, and I thought, you know what, this game looks terrible. Like, graphically, it does not look good, and it was very disappointing to see that. It looks very sterile and no personality. It looks just, I don't know, just ugly.
It just looks like kind of an HD remake of Star Fox 64.
It does, and Star Fox 64 as an HD remake wouldn't look good. Just like this doesn't look good, sadly. Then they kept going with some other things that, you know, they talked about, like the developer side, which I think is cool. And it got to the Shimigami Tensei Cross Fire Emblem game, and I noticed that there was a half hour left. And I was like, okay, this is pretty good. There's still a half hour more of information, right? But then they started talking about Yoshi's Woolly World, and then they started talking about Super Mario Maker. And I'm like, I already know about these games. There were so few new things announced, and even when there was something new announced, like the new Metroid game, they didn't even talk about it. It was just such a small, like, footnote on the event that it was just like, how important is this to Nintendo? Because they're not making a big deal. This is a new Metroid game, and it didn't seem like it was a big deal to them. Same thing with the new Paper Mario game, or new Mario and Luigi. Paper Jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually think that looks cool, and I'm excited for it. But once again, they didn't make a very big deal of it. The only one that was a new game that they made a big deal about was the Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes, which I think looks good, and it's going to be fun. But they announced that, and then obviously we already know about Hyrule Warriors Legends. But then they just like make it as like this brief little like, oh yeah, by the way, another game that might be coming out too. Whatever. Like, what? It just, the whole show felt very lackluster. There was not a big exciting moment for anything. It never felt like they cared. It never felt like they wanted to try and impress me, I think would be the best way to say that. And
I agree with that. Yeah, it's a good way to put it too.
I don't like it because we had two directs before E3. We had that micro direct, which announced a bunch of games. And I was like, oh man, this is great. They're announcing these smaller games so they can announce big games at E3.
But, that's what I was thinking.
And then they did the Smash Direct, which I was like, great. Now they don't have to talk about any of the Smash DLC and stuff like that. And they're going to have more time during the E3 Direct. But the problem that I had is with the Micro Direct that they had prior to this is now I've forgotten all the games they announced at the Micro Direct. And there wasn't anything big enough for me to really remember about this E3 Direct. And then I just want to, I don't know, I have a lot of emotions, I'm sorry, but I would just want to say that the Animal Crossing Amiibo Festival is joke.
I'll say.
Is a joke! I'm so disappointed that they tricked us and they trolled us.
That was so awesome.
Oh my gosh, what a joke! This is going to be our Animal Crossing game for the Wii U. I didn't even want an Animal Crossing game for the Wii U. And we're getting a party game that looks less about party and more about conversation.
Yeah, it's like, and you know, there's money involved
too. Did you watch the Treehouse Live of it?
Yeah, it's like 80% luck.
Oh my gosh.
Oh dear.
Even beyond that, the way that they were talking to it, look, Tom Nook, you were able to get some happy points. Oh, good for you. I like looking out of a telescope too. Yay.
Yeah, that was horrid.
Horrible.
I asked my sister.
This is a joke.
Yeah, Animal Crossing is one of those few like Nintendo games that my sister truly adores and loves to play. And I was like, wow, this is the dumbest idea ever as we were watching the direct or the digital event together. So I turned to her and I'm like, is this something that you'd be interested in? And she likes Mario Party, for Pete's sake. So I told her, I asked her, is this something that you might be interested in? She's like, no, not at all. And I was like, agreed. Not even my 13-year-old Animal Crossing Mario Party loving sister is excited about this game at all.
We have 13 Mario Party games. Why do we need a single Animal Crossing party game?
Because Amiibo.
Oh my gosh, what anger. Anger fuels me right now. Here's the last thing I want to say about the digital event is the fact that they are trying to pad out their calendar without any big third-party games. I do want to say that the partnership with Activision for the Skylander game is a really cool idea. Really, really cool idea. And I'm excited to see that, actually, because I just think that it was a smart move for both companies, honestly. And then the other thing is I wish that during the Nintendo E3 digital event, they would have showed off indies. I think that it was very bad of them not to.
And they usually do. So that kind of took me off guard. I was like, well, where's the indie montage that they always have?
Little sizzle reel.
they said that this was a year of transformation. In honesty, this was a year of filler. This was a year of transition yeah. to eventually become the NX or whatever their next home console is. This is a bunch of filler software. That's all this year is filler software. And I hate that, and it annoys the heck out of me. But luckily, I have a backlog that I need to get to. So that's all I have to say.
Yeah. So don't be too upset, people. There's plenty of games that, you know, came out in the past that you might like. But Bradley, if you have anything further to say, we'll give you the floor for a few minutes to vent your anger or frustrations or
happiness.
Say something positive, possibly.
Okay, so here we go. I thought the digital event was really lackluster. Let's see, a lot of it was filler.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
The Yoshi part, they talked about Yarn for like 5 minutes. What was up with that?
Oh.
And then I loved the part of the Animal Crossing part. I was like, oh yeah, here it is, HD Animal Crossing. And then all of a sudden you see the board game. I was like, oh that's not Animal Crossing.
Happy Home Designer, we can all admit, looks fun though, right?
Yeah.
That's all right.
I don't think I'll buy it, but...
Yeah, me either.
Anyway, so anything else catch your attention in the digital event, Bradley?
Mario and Luigi Paper Jam. I like that one. That one's cool. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And it should be pretty fun and unique. I've never played a Mario or a Paper Mario game at all,
what?
Actually. What? Oh, no. I've played some of Super Paper Mario. I've played that maybe 5 or 6 hours total in that game.
You gotta play Thousand Year Door.
I've never played Thousand Year Door, but Super Paper Mario I'm a huge fan of.
That's the one I haven't played.
I really enjoyed it.
It doesn't get a whole lot of, you know, praise, I guess, retrospectively. Like, people don't really like it quite as much as some previous Paper Mario games.
Yeah.
But you know what? Some people actually kind of have thought that the Paper Mario series, because Sticker Star was kind of like, you know, less than great, that the Paper Mario series should, you know, take a backseat to other series for a time. So is it a good thing that they are bringing it back?
I think that the way this one looks so differently from... Well, and it's not a Paper Mario game. This is a Mario and Luigi game.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And Mario and Luigi games, even the last one, which I did not get and play, I think most of the majority of people enjoy it, for the most part. But I like Mario and Luigi games. Mario and Luigi Partners in Time, I really liked that one a lot when it came out. And also Bowser's Inside Story, I really liked a lot too.
Yeah, the Mario and Luigi and Paper Mario series are very similar to each other in terms of the RPG ones. Like, the combat is really similar, so it's kind of like perfect match for them to come together and have their own game.
And yet totally unexpected.
Yeah, yes. Somehow. I wasn't expecting that.
Never would I call that.
Huh. Especially for this E3, I don't think anybody... I mean, people were saying, like, we're going to get a new Animal Crossing. We got to get a new Metroid.
We got all those things.
Oh, my gosh.
We did. How do you feel about... we haven't talked about Metroid Prime Federation Force yet, so Bradley, do you want to give us your thoughts on that?
Okay, when I first saw it, I didn't like it. I was pretty pessimistic about it.
Well, my question is, like, when you say you first saw it, are you talking about when you first saw Blast Ball at the championship tournament, or are you talking about the trailer?
In the digital event. They didn't really talk about it that much. They just showed a trailer and then skipped over to the next game. So, yeah. And it looked really simple, but after I watched it again, the trailer again, and then I saw it on the Treehouse Live, it actually looks pretty fun. It could be pretty fun. Like a fun online co-op game. I don't know, it just looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for it. I think it looks like a good game. I think they handled the announcement of it wrong, and I think that's the problem, is they didn't... Of all the games that they could have done, like, a developer information video about, that would have been a good one to do it about. But they didn't. You know, they just gave one trailer and moved on to the next thing, and I just think that was a really bad move. This is a new Metroid game, and it should be exciting, and we should want to play it, and they should want us to play it. And for some reason... They didn't, you know, they just, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm staying optimistic about it because we don't know a lot about the game yet. It's not coming out until 2016. So there's a lot that they can reveal that will get people excited.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I mean, there have been conversations on Facebook that I have been a part of. In fact, someone tagged me in a meme on Facebook, just a short, I think Matt was also tagged in this, I think it's more comic book setup than anything else. So you've got like these three little kids or four or something like
it's
that
based who on the are
yeah
the
looking
Halloween.
At their oh it is yeah so they're looking at their like Halloween candy haul and everyone you know. Super Mario's like, look at this, I got like three new games. And then Zelda, look, I got a new game too. And I forget what the other series was. So, you know, they're like pulling out their beautiful little games that they've got. And then the Metroid series, the little character representing the Metroid series pulls out his, pulls out Metroid Federation Force or Metroid Prime Federation Force and is all like, I got a rock. So a lot of conversation, and I have just been telling people, like, for one thing, and it's like Bradley says, we don't know much about this game yet. And isn't Samus confirmed? Samus
she's
is going to make some appearance.
I guess she's going to be playable or something is what they said. And also, I heard
don't know about playable.
I heard that this is a new Nintendo 3DS exclusive.
What
really?
The heck?
I thought I heard talk about that. Yes, and that's another thing. Like, why didn't they push that? Why didn't they talk about that?
If it's yeah. true, I
know they
heard that.
I know they wanted to release it at the launch of the new 3DS.
Yes, that's original, yeah.
Yeah, which is kind of far off now that it's 2016.
Anyway, yeah, and it's like Bradley has said, like, Samus isn't necessarily going to be playable.
Yeah, I think she's just going to appear somewhere, I don't know.
Somehow.
I also want to state that I hope, I don't like the fact that people are like, hey, let's petition to change this game. This is a made game ready to
change
come
it.
Out.
I thought they were petitioning to cancel it completely.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid.
It's ridiculous. This is a game for us to play. Let's either buy it or don't buy it, but don't sit there and say, like, you can't make this game come out. What?
If they cancel it, that's just one less game that we're going to get. It doesn't mean that a new Metro game is going to pop up out of nowhere and release on the same day or something like that.
Because this game was made doesn't mean that the Wii U game that is probably not going to happen was either going to happen or not happen. This is a different developer. This is a Next Level, the guys that did the Luigi Mansion game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so like this was already being made. Like this is not stopping another Metroid game from being made.
Yep.
Also, with me saying that developer thing real quick, I just want to state that Platinum Games is the developer behind the new Star Fox game, and Nintendo didn't even say that during the Direct. And that was disappointing as a fan. Like, that was disrespectful. I feel as a fan that they didn't give them any credit. Like, everybody wanted Platinum to make a new Star Fox game. Everybody said it all over the internet. We want Platinum to make the Star Fox game. And they got it. And they did it. And nobody said anything about it until the
trailer. They could at least showed a logo, like, at the beginning of the trailer or
they
something.
They should have. I don't know why in the world they wouldn't have. To me, that's just wrong. Like, that was just very wrong to us as fans that wanted this to happen. And we didn't even get to find out about it till later.
Yeah, because not everyone's going to go and watch the Treehouse Live at E3 stuff, because mm-hmm. that stuff kind of drags on.
It does.
It kind of just
you have to know when the stuff you want to watch is actually being shown.
Yeah, they actually made a few, like, announcements, exclusive announcements. Okay, I thought there was a Mario Maker announcement that happened during the...
There was. It was about the 100 Marios.
That, and did they show off that little booklet in the digital event? That would come with the game.
Yeah, they
talked a little
about
bit.
It.
Okay, well, there were other things that they did not mention in the digital event, and that I was still kind of unclear on for the longest time. Okay, whether Fire Emblem Fates would be two games or not. Like, in Japan, there's two different, like, full Fire Emblem games that are coming separately, so you'll have to pay for them separately. That was a Japanese thing, but... You know, you can't really trust everything that you hear about, what you know, in Japan. We might have gotten both games together, maybe for a larger price or something like that. And so I was waiting for Nintendo of America to tell me, this person who lives in America, whether we were going to get two versions, like in Japan, of Fire Emblem Fates. And the whole, like, is Metroid Prime Federation Force on the new 3DS? If it is, if it's exclusive to the new Nintendo 3DS, they didn't mention that. And that's kind of, you know, important information. So, yeah, it's like Matt has been saying, like, they just left stuff out.
Yeah, it's because...
of the digital event.
It's because both those games are coming out in 2016 is the other problem. You know, they wanted to... Here's someone online said, I don't know why everyone's complaining about Nintendo trying to focus on the next 9 months or whatever. And it's like, but they didn't. they just gave us this like small window and they didn't explain anything inside the window. I mean, if you see a beautiful woman in a window, this is for me and Bradley, obviously. If we see a beautiful woman in the window and we don't see her hand to know if she's married or not, then what are we supposed to do with that information? We need as much, I don't know why that's what I came to mind. We need as much information.
That's a great analogy.
We need as much information as possible is all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We didn't get a whole lot of that, but you know, there was a shining moment for me, or a few shining moments in the direct. These are games that we already knew about, and so it's not like it was huge or anything like that, but the trailer for Fire Emblem Fates
was really good.
Amazing. So good. And they've already got English voice acting and everything, which is
kind of
confusing because we don't have any English voice acting yet for Xenoblade Chronicles
X. Yeah, we do.
We do?
They showed it during the treehouse.
Where is that? I thought it was just like subtitles.
At the very end of, I think, day three, there's like a Xenoblade Chronicles X day three. At the very end of it, they showed a clip with English voice acting.
The very end of day three. Wow.
Yeah, what the heck? I'm not even going to get that far. I'm not going to watch that much Treehouse Live at E3, Nintendo. Thank you very much.
Let's talk about the Treehouse Live just real quick, just so we can kind of keep it moving on with this trend we're doing right now.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the Treehouse Live? What's your opinion of it? Do you like that?
I didn't watch the whole thing this year. I did watch the entire thing last year, not live. I just watched every individual segment one by one, and I enjoyed it. But this year, I don't know. It's like I say, after the World Championships, I was Nintendo'd out, believe it or not, and just did not want to spend that much time watching people play games that I can't play myself.
I like it a lot. I just want to say, like, the fact that they have, like, this constant live stream of games being shown with developers and information, I think it's a really cool idea, and I really, really like it.
Yeah, me too.
I just think that sometimes they rely too much on it, as we're saying right now, where we didn't get information during the Direct, we got it during the Treehouse Live. And I don't think that that's the way it should be done. I think that the majority of information should be given at the Direct, and then we should be given, like, sprinkles, you know, on the Treehouse Live. But I do like the Treehouse Live a lot, and I think it's a great idea, and I hope they keep doing it, is all I can say. Like, I think it's cool.
I think they might do it next year, because
they have to.
At the end of the Treehouse, I think they said, see you next year, or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they'll do it every single year, and I think, didn't Microsoft do something like that this year for it? I mean, everybody's starting to copy Nintendo slowly about these trends and how they're releasing information. We're going to see it more and more often, because this is the best way to handle your information getting out to the public. I mean, this may sound corny, but like, everybody wants to get their information out directly to the consumer, directly to the retailer, directly to the person interested in possibly buying a system. I mean, this is the way of the future, and we're going to see more and more of it.
We forgot to talk about one of the most important things, though.
Uh-oh, here
the
we
puppets.
Go.
How'd you know, Holly?
Because that's what's been on my mind this whole time. I just was looking for a...
Those things were awesome.
I liked last year's more. I liked the claymation with Robot Chicken more last year.
Yeah, they needed to do something different, I guess. But yeah, I liked Reggie, Satoru, and Shigeru parts.
Oh, yeah. I did like
Reggie dancing and stuff and doing like the push-ups.
Yeah.
Nintendo 63.
Nintendo 64. My puppet body is ready.
Classic.
That was an awesome way to start it.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
The start was like... was GIF-erific. I mean, so many GIFs and memes are going to be made out of that.
Oh, the GIF that I want the most is that one short little moment where Satoru Iwata is just sitting at his desk. Everything is so calm and tranquil. It's exactly what you imagine like a Japanese guy's office to be like.
And then he turns his head real quick.
Yeah. Every time I even think about it, I'm just like, oh, love it. I want that GIF so bad.
Oh, it was a great meme direct in that capacity.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you that it wasn't as good as the Robot Chicken stuff last year, but it still was great. I was wondering how they were going to top that. I knew they had to do something to entertain you as much, or, you know, maybe slightly less. They had to do something quirky like that again.
Yeah, and they did a good job with that.
Yeah, didn't see this coming, but it was awesome. I loved also that part where Shigeru Miyamoto's like, I have to remember my words, like, in his Japanese accent. He looks down at his paper, everything that he said, and then, you know, Satoru Iwata, hey, Fox, do a barrel roll. Loved that stuff. So entertaining. So I was happy with that.
Now I wonder what they're going to do next year.
Yeah.
Next year better be the greatest E3 Nintendo has ever had.
Yeah, I just wonder how much the NX is going to be shown, I guess.
All over. But all over. The Wii U is done.
Sad, but possibly true.
I'm iffy about Zelda. I don't know what's going to happen with that.
I know. The future is so unclear and uncertain.
I don't know. The Wii U is in a transition. It's sad because if they could have pushed it harder, I think they would have. But I think the fact that it didn't get the sales numbers that they wanted after doing such a big E3 last year. I mean, I want... Everyone should really go back and rewatch last year's E3 because it was impressive. A lot of stuff was shown. We got Splatoon at that E3. We didn't get a new IP this year, and that's an important. That's important to really look at. We're going through a time with Nintendo where they're not sure what they want to do moving forward either. And I'm not worried about Nintendo. I think they're going to be fine. I love my Wii U. I'm going to enjoy it till it's done. And whatever they come out with next, I'm still going to want it. You know. It's just the Wii U has reached a certain point that they don't know what else to do with it because it's not going to go any further. This is not a successful console, and it's sad but true.
Yeah, they're carrying it on their backs. They just are. Them. No third-party support.
But what happens with the NX if they don't get that third-party support again? There's a lot of big up-in-the-air what-ifs about Nintendo right now. Luckily, they have plenty of money. Like, that's one positive that they have going for them, is they have plenty of money. But that can't buy you fans. And us as fans need to do a better job of buying some of this software. I mean, I don't want to say, like, buy bad games. But, you know, Ubisoft, as much flack as they get, they tried hard on the Wii U. They released Assassin's Creed. They released Splinter Cell. They released Watch Dogs. And I agree it was late and it should have come out when they were supposed to. But it's not like they Zombie U sold well, and Ubisoft is making a bigger deal of that not selling well. That was a launch game for a new system, and it sold over 600,000 copies. Like, that is not a bad number for something as new as they got, and they could push that harder, and I bet they could have got a million out of it. The problem is they released Red Steel, which was a broken mess of a game for the Wii, and magically got a million copies sold because it was the only thing out at the time. they wanted lightning in a barrel twice, and it can't always happen like that. But Ubisoft did try, and us as fans did not support their efforts. So it's not surprising that they wouldn't want to continue their time with the Nintendo console. I mean, we could go further into this, and I know we probably don't want to go much longer. But like, there's problems with us as fans as much as there is with publishers releasing games on the system we want to see games for.
Yeah.
Yep. One last comment kind of relating to that. I know that some people try to get games for free, illegally. That's not good, you guys. For those of you who are doing that. I don't know if you guys are listening, if anyone who does that is listening, but support companies better than, you know, trying to get their games illegally like that.
Yeah, pirates.
Yeah.
Pirates belong in one place. On the sea!
Arr.
Anyway, so that's one last thing. Anyway, yeah, I'm not worried about Nintendo either. Who knows? Maybe they'll use this transition time in between the Wii U and the NX to try to win back some third-party support and sell their new system to third parties. But you know what? Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. And
my body is ready.
It'll be exciting to find out what happens for sure.
It absolutely will. But that kind of brings us to the end of our show. I think we covered just about everything that we needed to. Thanks again for those of you who responded to my question on Twitter. Great comments. I really, really enjoyed getting those and responding to you guys on those. So thanks again for that. If you want to send us any further comments or questions, you can tweet Matt or I or even Bradley. My Twitter handle is at Holly Falmouth. Matt?
My Twitter handle is at Only Matt Dezen. Please hit me up. Talk to me on there. I'll always respond to you because I enjoy using Twitter so very much. Me and Bradley are already getting into great Twitter discussions.
Oh, yeah, I'm super active on Twitter. My handle is at Bradley Cragen. Cragen spelled K-R-A-G-E-N.
So pretty simple there. You can also email us at podcast@nintendofever.com. Go check out Bradley's channel as well. You can find it by typing in Bradley News 11 on YouTube. And that pretty much brings us to the end of the show for keeps. Thanks for listening to episode 17. We will see you later for episode 18 in 1 week. Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye.